You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello, welcome back. This is another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Make sure to subscribe and rate the podcast on iTunes or wherever you're listening to the show. And also make sure to download the Himalaya app. It's the best way to find new podcasts and to enjoy podcasts you're already listening to and subscribe to. So make sure to download the Himalaya app. Today, we are going to be talking about the draft. We're actually recording this while the draft is happening, so you're going to get some live reactions to what's going on in the draft. And we're recording pretty early in the draft because the Timberwolves have traded up to the sixth pick. We'll get to that in a second, but I also have some guests with me here today. I've got a couple people from the station I work at, KSFY, a couple of regular Timberwolves fans that just would love some good talent on this team and a new direction for this organization. So I have Andrew Pepping and I have Sam Gabrielli of KSFY. Boys, are you excited to make your debut on the Timberwolves show?
I'm honored. Thank you, Cold, for the invite. Yeah.
I don't know about honored. I don't know if you should be honored by this or worried about the career path that you're going to make after this. But we have the Knicks selecting right now. And like I mentioned, RJ Barrett to the Knicks. No surprise there. Pretty chalk so far. You have Zion. You have Ja. You have RJ. You have DeAndre Hunter, heavily talked about by the Hawks, who traded into the fourth spot. Seems like it's going to go pretty chalk. And now you have the Timberwolves, who you traded to the Suns, the 11th pick, and Dario Saric for that sixth pick. So we'll go around the horn here. We'll go, Andrew, what do you want to see from the Timberwolves? Do you want to see them leverage this for cap space, or do you want to see them take a guard, a player?
I mean, I think that the NBA draft class, like the top five, is pretty, I think it's got some really good talent. And then once you get out of the top five, like talent goes down, but like there's still decent players there. I just don't think that there's going to be as many all-stars as the top five will have. I think personally, everyone that's going to be drafted in the top five will be an all-star at some point in their career. But I think that the Wolves need a point guard first. And I think that's what they're going to do. I think the cap space, I think they're just going to have to just play the wait-and-see approach on this.
Just ride that one out. And so, Gabrielle, you're looking at this draft. You see people say that there's not an all-star player that's going to be drafted outside the top five. So then what are your appropriate expectations then if you have that in mind for a pick at six? Are you, like, bummed that, oh, you were so close and you aren't able to make it into this lottery beyond the lottery, or are you just happy that they're actually in contention for one of these top picks? I mean, six is one of the better picks they've had outside of number one in a while.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Colton, sometimes you don't want that number one guy because he's the one in the spotlight. He's that top pick. I mean, you know, number six is really not that bad of a number. And honestly, to me,
just sit and let him develop.
Yeah, you know, and my opinion out of all the top Minnesota sports with the Wolves is pretty low because I naturally didn't grow up watching basketball. I don't know the Timberwolves system as well as the Wild, the Vikes, and the Twins overall. But I do think the main focus with the Timberwolves is not just going for the big young stud that's the big name in the whole thing. I think you got to go with filling the holes that are in your lineup. And by the sounds of it, the point guard's that spot from what you guys are telling me. I got to tell you this too. It's tough for me watching Andrew Wiggins the past year or two, because in college I went to Iowa State and he would light us up at Hill and Coliseum, and now he can't even make jumpers that he made in college.
I know exactly what you're saying. I watched Andrew Wiggins when he was in high school in Canada. I rode for Wiggins for a long time. It's tough to sell on this kind of guy, and we'll get to Wiggins in a second here, but first I would like to address a point you made, which is just drafting a guy and just trusting the development process, not really needing to throw him into a spotlight super quick. That's an interesting point because with this coaching staff, with bringing back Saunders and some of the guys that you're bringing in, it seems like the key was keeping an eye on developing youth and keeping a healthy locker room relationship, something that they didn't have under Tibbs. So what do you guys think about this Timberwolves team moving forward under Saunders just as far as the young talent? I mean, we looked it up. Pepe, what was it? Like, the average age of the Timberwolves is 25. They're a pretty young team, and they're going to get a lot younger here, you would think, over the next couple of years, bringing in new talent with a more of a strap cap situation. Do you like this approach of just riding it out with the development side of things and saying, you know what, we trust our young prospects to come in and turn out because we have a good development system, we have a good locker room that they're going to actually thrive in as opposed to kind of dry up in? What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I think if anyone in the NBA that knows Cat and Wiggins more, it's got to be Ryan Saunders. He's been with them since, I think, they were rookies. So I think what the Wolves just need to do is in my opinion, trading Wiggins away would be my favorite option, but I don't think that's probably going to happen within the next year or so. They're just going to have to wait out the process, but the coaching staff obviously is going to have something in mind for Andrew to just, you know, get back in that, like, just be that scorer that he was in college and in high school. The one thing that he just needs to improve on, I think he's got to just be more aggressive. I think his three-point shot is there. It's just not as consistent as what I like it to be. And then he's also just got to be a better guy at the free throw line.
And Andrew, I was going to say, to kind of parallel your question with the coaching staff and if you believe Saunders is the right move with this young team. Like, look at the Vikings, for example. When you said familiar with the players and the team and such, remember when the Vikings had to get rid of their OC last season and they went with the former quarterback coach who's been there like 15, 16, I don't know, years. I forgot his name. I don't know if you guys
can remember.
Stefanski, exactly. So that it's the same kind of deal. Been around, knows the system, knows the people. I mean, that's sometimes the thing to do other than just bring a new guy in from, you know, a big-name place that's had a lot of success. But, I mean, sometimes you might have to go with the guy that's been around and knows everybody and, you know, knows the system well. So.
Well, and the other thing, too, is the tempest that was their locker room the last few years. Maybe, I don't know, I've knocked him a little bit for having that be the number one motivator, but maybe that is the right idea, is just to try and keep things calm, try not to disturb the water, as it were, in the locker room at all. And now I would like to, we have the Lakers on the clock here. I would like to direct towards that cap situation, that horrible, horrendous cap situation. So they're sitting at, they're over the cap and into the luxury. They have about 17-ish million dollars that they have to play with. So they're strapped for cash. So they can't really do too much as far as free agents this summer. And then you're looking at, you have big contracts like Teague is in his last year, $19 million. You have, obviously, Wiggins is maxed out. He's a big contract that fans have a lot of problems with. Gorgie is another big contract guy coming off the bench who's signed for a big deal and getting paid quite a bit of money. Would you guys rather see young talent come in or a bad contract leave? As Timberwolves fans, what would be more appealing to you? Is getting a young guy in on a rookie deal that you'll have for at least a guaranteed few years, or trying to make a run at free agency at somebody because you have some cap space?
I would go try and make a run at free agency. I mean, you saw what we did with Jimmy Butler. I mean, that was, he brought a, I know it was Jimmy Butler, and he brought a lot of attitude and swagger to the franchise, but
he also brought a playoff berth.
He sure did. And you know what? We did lose four or five to the Rockets, and you know that got fans like me that are kind of passive Timberwolves fans to be able to watch games. Like, that was the first time since probably, what year was that, 03 they went to the Western Finals?
Yeah, the 03-04 season.
Yep, that was the first time I probably felt like, all right, this is cool. We have some energy in Minnesota. We have some basketball, you know, yeah, energy.
We have some swagger on the
potential.
Team.
Yeah, I mean, so, and we still have the potential, but I think in the way the league is given to everybody with all these big names, you know, LeBron and you name it.
Yeah.
I think a free agency thing, in my opinion, is a better option than just developing in young rookies. What we need is a guy that to come in from wherever with all these young players.
So you would maybe parlay this pick into a trade, into
That's
get one of these off the books. Pepin, what do you say?
I guess it just depends on what they want, because I think my hope for the Timberwolves would be is dump one of the contracts and get D'Angelo Russell. I don't think that's going to happen, but I mean, I think there's still a slight chance that it was going to happen.
And well, that, again, more, by the way, just to interrupt you guys, more chalk. The DeAndre Hunter is going to Atlanta. He was drafted fourth, so more chalk from the draft. It really looks like that the Timberwolves could be the first pick to kind of shake things up in this draft.
Look at his swagger, man. I like that suit he's got on.
It's a nice suit. There's, you know what? There was some questionable suits last year. You had Trae Young looking like a UPS delivery boy. I like the suits this year. There's been some weirder ones. I'm not sure what, just like Bol Bol's game, I'm not sure what's going on, but I like most of the suits that I'm seeing from these guys. You had RJ Barrett in a very dapper suit. You had John Morant looking like a Chicago gangster. You had Miami Vice with Zion Williamson. It's been a nice selection of suits. But anyway, so you're saying you're not sure about the situation. I mean, D'Lo would have to be more than just a trade. It would have to be like they have to sign D'Angelo Russell in the Nets and then sign and trade him to the. So there's a lot of moving pieces if that's what you want to see from them. For some of these free agents, at least.
See, I think one thing that he could do too is I think of the three contracts that they have between Gorgie, Wiggins, and Teague. I think Teague's contract is probably the one that they could probably get a little bit more leverage with, just because it's not that much. I mean, he's 30 or 31, so he's not terribly old. I mean, he's still in his prime, but it's more towards the back nine of his prime. But I think he could potentially, they can make some moves there. It's just that with that $19 million that he's guaranteed, that puts the Wolves at like, well, that'd be like 35-ish. Do you really spend like all 35 on just one guy? Because D'Angelo's probably going to ask for, I would say, close to 30.
Yeah, I mean, I could see him going for like the $24 million to, I don't know, 30 would be a lot to pay for him. I know that he just had the best season of his career, but I don't know. That's a lot of money per year for a young guard. I am more partial to the idea of just bringing in young talent and kind of doing what the Lakers should be into, which is signing older vets to short deals, like pick up like a Kyle Korver for like $3 million, or like get like try and get JJ. I know JJ Redick probably would not come to the Timberwolves, but try for a JJ Redick for like a 2-year, $15 million, something like that. Just bring in a couple older vets that can kind of play fast-paced transition governed offense around towns, because that's really where this entire ship is headed, right? You want to put everything in the best position for towns, and you want to make towns the centerpiece of this. Mm-hmm. And I think the best way to do that is kind of like you're building around a bigger version of James Harden, where you're surrounding him with shooters who can play solid wing defense, you have more point guards that you want handling the ball more. It would be the one difference there. And I think Gerson is a guy who is set up well for that, because he has built teams around Harden with the Rockets. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. I mean, he came into a situation too where, like we're saying, strapped for cash. Strapped for cash. So that makes it tough.
It's almost like a money ball kind of thing. So you got to find the guys that, you know, can get the job done, that aren't going to ask for a ton of money. It's just, the problem is in basketball, like, you're going to, like, players that are worth more, like, you're basically going to pay them. The good players are going to get paid, I guess, is a good way of putting it.
The way the league is built.
You're probably not going to get a really good player at, like, $6 or $7 million. It's just not physically possible. But
We're talking like the James Hardens, the LeBron James.
Well, even like the Derrick Rose, I think, was a good example. Like that, I think that was a million-to-one shot that he came off that injury as well as he did. Because when Derrick Rose first played, he wasn't known as being like a real shooter. He was more of like an athletic freak. And then when he got hurt, he kind of changed it up a little bit. I mean, he still went to the hoop quite a bit, but that three-point shot was just, I think that would, is what's going to make him his money this next year. That three-point shot was just was straight on for him.
Well, the other thing for him was he was a high volume guy, and he needed a lot of time with the ball in his hands. He needed to be a high usage rate kind of player. And last year he was a really high efficiency player. And he can play off ball. So that's kind of what you're... I mean, if you're the Timberwolves, basically, and it seems impossible, but what you're asking the Timberwolves to do is knock it out of the park by finding cheap guys who produce far over their expectation, like you did in Derrick Rose.
And yeah, who else do you see out of that, too? I mean, what guys come to mind in the league that could be good fits? I mean, it'd be tough to answer that. There's so many guys out there. But, I mean, is there anybody else that speaks to you? Like, that's not a D'Angelo Russell. Like, that's not going to cost a lot. Like a Teague in a way, but say he's a little bigger of a name.
I mean,
he can be a baller.
I wouldn't mind J.J. Redick, but the problem is that J.J. Redick's not going to come to the Timberwolves.
That is the problem, is that the Timberwolves are not a big free agent destination at the moment.
Because it's not warm, man. It's not Miami, man.
It's not warm. They've just got off of like a 3-year stint where their locker room was really dysfunctional.
Yeah.
Not a great playoff history.
The coach was a cancer.
Not a great owner. Honestly, not the best fan base. I mean, we have one of the poorest sellout rates in the NBA. So
until 2 years ago where we got Jimmy Butler, and then all of a sudden we're like, whoa, look at this. We're actually good.
You guys, no offense. I remember a few years ago, maybe when I was in middle school, when they were just a laughing stock. And I remember Minnesotans wanted the Twin Cities to sell the franchise to a different city because, you know, I mean, times are changing now. They're on the upward swing again. But, I mean, it's too bad.
Yeah, that's tough. That makes it
like KG,
not exactly
KG
desirable.
KG brought a big energy and stuff. And, of course, with that
the
Western
Garland.
Conference run.
Oh, no!
You don't like
Darius
that?
Garland just got drafted by the Cavaliers. No, I do not. I want Darius Garland for the Timberwolves. Mm. Oh, my goodness. Darius Garland. All right, so Darius Garland off the board, number 5, played. By the way, he's dressed like, what is this guy
he
dressed like? He's dressed like Yeezus. He looks like Kanye West right now.
He kind of looks like a nurse, like the
he looks
or
like a nurse.
Or I was like
he needs to be blue, though.
Or like the people in like the Buddhist temple, don't they wear like those long robes, too, or something like that? I could be wrong, but
Pepping's Asian, so it's okay that he said that. Just so we are all on the same page. It looks like he's wearing a damn bathrobe.
That's what I was going to say.
Aren't most Koreans, aren't they Christian?
No. Well, we're not going to get into religious talk.
Gab's Italian. I don't know about that one. That was
Roman Catholic.
Go on, Sam.
I don't know where we're sitting on that one. We're just going to move on. Darius Garland would have been a great pick for the Timberwolves. I know he only played 5 games at Vanderbilt. That's right. I'm excited about a guy who played 5 games his freshman year at Vanderbilt. But he is a shooter. He shot 47% from 3 in college. He's just a guy who can create his own shot consistently. He can find buckets all over the place. You know that he's good for his own offense at least. And I think people can get – I mean, his passing needs some work, but he's just – he's an elite-level shooter, elite-level scorer. And if you watched any of his high school tape, any of his college tape, you would see that immediately.
Who does
would
he
have been
remind
a great
you of?
Pick.
Does he remind you of Chauncey Billups?
I heard that there's a lot of scouts
or Damian Lillard
that were giving him Kyrie Irving comps.
Yeah.
Which,
really,
I mean, is something else.
That's a praise, man. That's
Damian Lillard's a big, pretty big praise, too, of ESPN.
Yeah, they're comping him to Damian Lillard right now on ESPN. First of all, I'm surprised that they didn't take a wing when they have Sexton there. Secondly, it's a bummer for the Timberwolves. Their pick is up right now, by the way.
Oh, boy.
Do you see him trading this pick?
I say take Kobe White.
Okay, here's my question, though, about the Timberwolves and their pick. How come it says the Suns pick? I just don't understand.
I don't think they've updated the graphic yet.
Oh, they didn't upgrade.
No. So the trade doesn't officially go through until July.
Oh.
So the Suns are picking for the Timberwolves. That's why it said Lakers instead of
I don't like that, guys.
Hawks.
I don't like that idea at all. I don't. The
you
Suns
like
totally
could
totally screw
all
over if they wanted
apart.
To. I don't like that idea.
Come
do
on,
all, do all sports do that?
The no, NFL is on the spot.
I think NHL is too.
Good.
And the MLB, who the hell knows what's happening in the MLB draft?
That's true.
It's too long. Too many.
Yeah,
we have 1,000 picks.
40 picks?
The MLB draft
or 40
does
rounds?
Not matter. I'm just going to say that right now.
I think it matters.
Whoa, hot take. It matters because that's how NFL players realize they don't want to be in baseball.
Wow, you guys are really showing some real life for the MLB.
No.
Even though, like, the MLB is going downhill, apparently.
Hold on.
MLB is trash.
This is interesting. I just pulled up weather radar. Nerd, not here. There's a tornado heading towards Mankato right now.
Oh, take it all away.
One on the ground.
Take all those unwashed savages away. I went to school in Mankato. It's a terrible, terrible place.
You did not like it at all?
Slullably people and drunkards. Take it all away. No, actually, I do like the campus.
My old man went there,
too. I was going to say, don't you like... You don't like being sober because that's your anthem from Chief Keep. I hate being sober.
So. That's only at work.
Only at work.
Especially when Kevin, if you're listening to this, it's not true. Anyways, this is really come off the rails here, fellas. So the Timberwolves are on the board.
Here we go.
You guys, Cam Reddish, Nasir Little.
Who's this guy?
Kobe White. Nice. That's RJ.
I like that pink suit.
Jared, I know, that's what I'm saying.
These guys are fly, man. If I was going to the NBA, man, I would be wearing something real
cool. That's an even better... We'll get to the picks in a second. That's an even better statement. What's the suit that you would wear on draft day?
Mm. I'd be all white.
All white, Miami Vice it?
Yeah.
I'd wear like a red, white, and blue suit. I'd be patriotic.
But you're Italian.
Yeah, what? What?
I'm an Italian-American.
Destroying your heritage.
I know.
I'm going to tell your mother.
She's Swedish.
I'll say, yeah, by the way, his mom is not Italian. It's just his dad.
I would... I've been bamboozled. Hoisted on my own baton again. I think I would wear like a deep, like, satin maroon with like the black lapel.
Nice.
I don't know. And then go Nike shoes.
The only problem
I'd wear like a V-neck and I'd be like, ladies.
That's a
talent. The only thing that would make me mad is like if they had like a pre meal of like spaghetti or meatballs or something like that. I'm wearing all white. I'd be like, well, this is gonna be bad. And I like walk up and there's like a nice little like sauce stain like on the side. It's just like, well, Andrew, you really played that well.
First of all, if you're spilling on yourself as an NBA athlete, I'd be disgusted. Like, faster reflexes, please. Come on.
With the 13th
pick. Secondly, why are you eating spaghetti before the draft?
With the 13th
pick. I don't know.
He's like Eminem over here.
The Houston Rockets take
his spaghetti on his sweater.
And he's sitting at a table just like chowing down his spaghetti.
I eat when I'm nervous.
Just throw up on his sweater.
It's a problem, okay?
He shakes the commissioner's hand, a meatball sub falls out of his pocket.
Yeah,
dear God.
Yeah, this is
have some like, focus,
that
Pepe.
Sounds like an Eddie Lacy kind of thing to do.
Except with
Fat
burgers.
Eddie. Yeah.
Except with burgers.
I think that's one of the coolest things, man. All these athletes got problems with, like, you know, women or, like, drugs and stuff, but Eddie Lacy's got
Fat Eddie.
Problems. Well, do you guys remember Jamarcus Russell?
Yes. This is not a football podcast. Do not get us off the rails.
I was going to say,
I brought that up. My bad.
All right, pick's in. Let's see what happens.
Kobe White, Jarrett Culver, Cam Reddish, Nasir Little. Who you guys want?
I like the idea of Culver. I saw him light up the Big 12. He's sick. They lost in the national championship.
Came just short.
Yeah.
But Big 12 player of the year, and really good on both ends of the floor. That's kind of one of those two-way players that you're looking at, whereas Kobe White, I would say, is more of an offensive piece.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, too. If they don't draft Kobe White and they say they draft, like, Cam Reddish or they draft Culver, what does that mean? The Wolves just drafted that poorly, or do they think they've baited someone with that player to get someone else in return?
I would say at six, you're looking at this as this is just the best player available. Because that's what ultimately you gotta do is you gotta pick best player available.
All right, here we go.
Here we go.
Yeah,
the Timberwolves select Jarrett Culver of Texas Tech. Whew.
I like that idea.
All right, so clearly
you don't like that, Andrew, do you?
I just they need a point guard, though, is the problem. They don't need another shooting guard because we have Josh Okogie, and I think Okogie's overall going to be a really good player in the NBA no matter where he plays.
Well, like, to be fair, though, clearly they're viewing this first as the best available player, which is the way you want teams to be looking at it, And they're looking at it as probably you can run him as a combo guard because he did. You did. They did run a decent amount of offense through Culver there. My main concern is that when I saw push come to shove against really good teams in Michigan State, in Virginia, in the Final Four, in the championship game, he came down to where he had two offensive moves that he would kind of use as his default all the time.
Okay.
When you were watching the Virginia game, there were guys, literally, there were two guys, three guys there ready to block his shot because they knew exactly what he was doing because he went to the same two moves every time. So I'm going to need his portfolio of offensive go-tos and spots on the floor where he knows he can hit to expand if he's going to be worthy of this sixth pick and if he's going to make a difference on this Timberwolves roster. Overall, it's not a terrible pick. I don't think I'm as disappointed as Pap over here. I would have liked to see Kobe White. He's sunken.
Andrew's like that kid on Christmas who thinks he's going to get like the gift he always dreamed of for the
Xbox. Past. It's Andrew, an Xbox. Yeah. Oh, socks.
Oh, man. It's a Lego box.
Thanks so much.
It's just...
Thanks, Dad.
Oh, man. Like this is the classic stepfather gift.
Yeah.
All right. So Jarrett Culver's a Timberwolf.
Well, for right now, I would not be surprised if they did trade this away. Like,
you're just saying that because you don't like Jarrett Culver.
I think he's a good player. Just I don't think he fits the Wolves.
I mean, and let's be honest. They are devoid of a lot of talent. You could get anybody in pretty much.
And they compare him to Jimmy Butler.
So that's not what we need to see.
No, that's the last.
You shut up! I love Jimmy Butler still.
I get PTSD looking at that guy.
I still love Jimmy Butler. I can't get over him. I'm the girl who's never going to get over that guy.
You know what, though? Okay. Like, I like Cat. I like Wiggins. I like this young roster for the most part. We're doing stuff right. But these guys need to step up. I don't see urgency out of them. Like, I don't see if they want it. Like, and Jimmy was like, you know what? These guys are just not...
Not passive.
No. And he did his thing, and he said, I'm out of here. So I kind of give him respect, but at the same time, too, he was a cancer.
I feel like you should have known. He's a hard-nosed player who works his butt off during the season, and nobody outworks him in the off season. And he demands the same out of his teammates. And if you can't be ready for that as a team, if you can't adjust that as a team, I don't think you should have gotten in the business of trading for him. I just don't know if they were adequately prepared, didn't do their research, whatever it was. I don't know. I still like Jimmy Butler. I think. Give me like 2 days, I'll talk myself into this Jarrett Culver pick. Give me like 2 days, and I'll be all aboard the Jarrett Culver trade train.
Meanwhile, Andrew's sitting in the corner crying.
Right. Andrew's gonna cry. I think they need a point guard, but they have a combo guard. This is still a good pick. This is still gonna help. And
why would Andre Drummond tweet at Jarrett saying? Fam.
I don't hate it.
Could that mean the abbreviated trade to the Pistons?
Oh, dear God.
Oh, God. No.
Are the Pistons just a wreck?
Yeah. They got the best... I think they have, like, the best off... Like, the best front court in the league, though, in my opinion. But Griffin and Drummond?
No. Drummond's just a rebounder.
Drummond's a top five center in the league.
A top five center?
I'd say
he's... You are smoking crack.
I would say he's top three.
Top three center.
Yeah.
Can't score. Can't shoot.
But
bad defensively.
He can rebound.
So you're saying that you would take Embiid, Jokic, Towns, Drummond. Not even. You would have to kick out one of those three.
Okay, five. Three is a stretch, but I say five.
Okay, so you're going Anthony Davis, Embiid, Towns, Jokic, and instead of guys like Gobert, instead of guys like Clint Capella.
Clint Capella is Drummond.
Clint Capella can run. Clint Capella can shoot. Clint Capella can go in transition.
Hasn't Andre Drummond...
This is your worst take I've ever heard.
No, Andre Drummond. Even more. Andre Drummond has... I'm pretty sure he's led the league in rebounding. He led it last year. And he's leading this year.
I'm pretty sure Davis led last year.
Before he got hurt.
And I'm pretty sure that if you are basing this on just rebounding, then I've already won this argument.
Pure center, Drummond.
Pure center? There's no such thing as a pure center anymore. Your centers have to shoot threes. Look at Brook Lopez. Look at Gasol in the playoffs.
I still think Drummond is...
Lopez shot 11 threes in one of the playoff games. Yep. A pure center has to shoot.
A pure center?
Pure center has to shoot in today's NBA. You take him over Cousins?
Hey, here goes another pick here, Bulls.
Kobe White.
Yep.
These guys have some hair, damn.
I know, he's looking good. All right, so Jarrett Culver is a Timberwolf. That's it for us. We had Pepe on the show. We had Gabrielle on the show. This was the KSFY squad. This was the KSFY squad locking down the draft. Thank you so much for listening, as always, to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.